On our morning show today from WRCO, we welcome friends from Weston Schools, and we've been looking forward to this program for quite some time. Weston School District Administrator Gary Siftestad is in the studio, and longtime teacher Val Thompson is here, too. And we would have let him in anyway, but Gary brings ski and a ski shirt, and my goodness, thank you very much. I presume that's for me.
It's absolutely for you. Ah. Don't drink it all at once.
Oh, boy, I'll climb the tower and be singing later if I do that. So, where did you find this ski anyway?
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wow.
Over spring break.
So you got back across the state line. The law let you back in the state.
Yeah, it's
and everything,
not like the new Glarus, you know, the spotted cow. No, they let me through.
And you have some vintage hillbilly bottles here as well. Is that from your own collection?
That is from my own collection, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. Well, Gary, this is, I believe it's like your third time on during the school year, but maybe you could talk about, what about some highlights at Weston this year?
Well, you know, it's been a good school year. There's been a lot of progress made academically as well as athletically. As you know, Phil, our baseball team is, you know, right up there top, towards the top of the conference. But I guess I would like to shed some light on some things that are coming up. So this Friday we have our fine arts night, and that has really, this is the third year that we're doing it this way. It is music, it's tech ed, it's art, and so there's concerts, they're selling gelato, they're selling food. The FFA makes the gelato from the sheep's milk. And every year is a different theme. So this year it's the 60s, and we're going to have a rocket ship, I believe. So Laura Diemer, our art teacher, has really taken on kind of, it's a lot of people involved in it, but they get together, they organize, and they come up with a theme. And I think 2 years ago, there was actually a tunnel that was built that you kind of went through with the UV lights and everything. This year, it'll be rocket ship, and it's from the 60s. And so there will be art on display, paintings, pottery. The choir and the band will both perform. In fact, we switched it up a little bit this year. The elementary concerts are going to be during the day on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. It's advertised on our website. And then Friday night, people can come in and walk around and see the different displays. And the high school and junior high will have their concerts Friday night. And then that leads into the next day where the FFA has their annual pancake breakfast and plant sale. And that's always highly successful. And that's during the morning. And so I'd encourage people to come up and get a good hearty breakfast and then, look to buy some plants. So, and then the following Wednesday, May 8th, we have scholarship night that evening. But during the day, we have a blood drive. And so anybody from the community as well as the school can come and donate blood on May 8th.
We have a lot of things going on.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's the sprint of the school year, so there's a lot of, graduation-type stuff and things like that. And as Mrs. Thompson, I'm sure, can attest to, it is field trip season.
Yes, it is. you brought along a friend today, Val Thompson.
Yes, very exciting.
Yeah, good to have you in here, Val.
Thank you. Good morning.
And he brought you for more than one reason. Not only are you a great teacher, but we understand that this is the last month of your teaching career.
Is it correct? This is my 40th year.
Wow.
So I'm going to hang it up after this year.
You must have started when you were 12 or something like that, right?
Not really. Actually, I started my subbing at Ithaca.
Did you really?
When I first got out, yes. Mm-hmm. I was a part-time librarian for a little bit, for 8 weeks. So that's where I started a little bit, and then I did a little subbing in Richland Center also.
Okay. Your 40 years then, primarily were at Weston,
though. All 40 years were at Weston, correct.
And what grades have you taught through the years at Weston?
I teach pre-K. I've taught kindergarten, I've taught first grade, second grade, and third grade.
What's your favorite?
Pre-K.
Pre-K.
Where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Isn't that something? And, you know, you think about it, when we were in school, we went to school, you went and, you know, basically you were like 7 years old or whatever, and it just keeps getting younger and younger, but it's pretty important, isn't it?
You start important in pre-K. We do so much play learning and development and socialization in pre-K, and that's our big focus this year, is just getting the kids to acknowledge friendship and sharing and caring and little problem solving that they can do on their own, and a lot of reading to them, and just getting them to love school, and that's my job, and I love doing that.
And you love school too.
I do.
You must, after all these
years. After 40 years, yes, I do. I enjoy it. You know, you have your ups and downs, but I have so many ups, and I have enjoyed every minute of it. And my least favorite class to teach was probably third grade. That just was not my cup of tea. But I love the littles. They just come up with so many ideas and so many fun things and the most unexpected. And they have so many aha moments. It just makes teaching remarkable and rewarding.
That was going to be one of my questions about what has changed the most in those 40 years, but probably as you've gotten, you know, into younger educating, that's probably one of the biggest changes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And just to see the kids, where they come from, what they're coming in. I mean, whether they know letters or sounds, you know, who's been reading to them, and just the thrill of them coming into school. And they just love that, you know, older brother, sister's been coming for years. I get my backpack on. I get to come to school now. And just that joy of being with friends. And some come into pre-K and they've never been with other kids before. And just to get them into that situation and that routine, it's nice to see all that stuff.
And you get them working on their ABCs and their counting and all that
stuff? We do that, but kind of in a nonchalant way, because we have, you know, we do a lot of singing, we do a lot of art projects around different letters and sounds and things. So I'm not really strictly, we've got to teach the ABCs. It just kind of comes in, and sometimes I don't even know they're doing it. And just having fun doing it. That's what we do.
You're a graduate of Richland Center High School.
I am, 1979, and my 45th reunion this summer.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Do you remember a teacher that inspired you?
Well, my second grade teacher, Betty Waslick, she's got to be one of the ones that I remember the most. I loved reading to her, and she just made the class time fun. That was probably my favorite in second grade.
Mm-hmm. And then anybody else?
Music. I loved music. Pam Kiss, Ray Orlean, John Bartle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bartz. I loved the choir part, so yeah. And that's probably why I still sing a lot in pre-K class, because from them.
Mm-hmm. And that's old school, you know, music. I remember some of my teachers, you know, especially when you get rowdy, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, they would stop and sing a song. So do you do that once in a while?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
And my cleanup song is YMCA. And I know that's an oldie. And I've tried other songs. And I thought, okay, Val, we're going to try something new this year. And I just go back to YMCA. And the kids love it. It's like, oh, it's our cleanup song. And they're cleaning up and everything. So they just love it.
Wow. What makes a good teacher, Val?
I think the caring. You got to care about those kids. You got to wait for the unexpected, the flexibility. You know, your day might be planned perfectly in your lesson plans, but some days that does not happen at all. You know, so you got to, and I think just recognizing the kids, the community, getting the parents involved too, and just trying to get having the kids love school from the start. And hopefully that, what I teach them, continues to grow with them all the way through the years.
So in other words, sometimes you got to roll with the flow a little bit.
Exactly. You do. One kid will come in bawling, and there goes your whole morning. Another one, something happened, the cat died, or, you know, a kid had a fight, or they just didn't want to leave mom and dad this morning, or breakfast wasn't right. Yeah, you just got to roll with the punches and go with it.
Indeed. Takes a lot of energy, doesn't it?
It does. It does. No wonder I'm tired when I go home at night. But I love it. They just, you know, they come up with the most unexpected things sometimes. And we're working on a little program for ourselves, the end of the year celebration for pre-K. And they're just, they're at the age where they love everything. You know, they're just, you give them a song, they love it. You give them an art project, they love it. You give them a different playtime, and they just love all that.
That's awesome. My daughter is a kindergarten teacher, and I've said that, excuse me, before. What a great place the world would be if it was like a pre-K or kindergarten class, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. All fun and play, and not knowing that you're having all that fun playing, and just the stories they come up with, and the things that they like to do, and the things they like to share. And they do share a lot, mm-hmm. we learn a lot from them, and it's just, I I taught kindergarten for 17 years, and I did love that, and then I was asked to move to pre-K, and I thought, oh, I can't do that. They're so little. They don't know anything, and I was wrong. It's my love now.
I bet. You have a special program coming up. I understand Lee Mills from Madison TV interviewed
you. I do. You know, at the end of the year, I know they always do something for retirees, and so I wasn't expecting anything, and my wonderful para, Amanda Wren, says, well, we're going to get the kids ready for art class, but the teacher wants us to send the kids, and then we'll go later. I thought, okay, they're having this big art show coming up that Gary said, and they're going to show us these big astronauts, because I knew they made them. So we're working in the room. She comes in, my para comes in, she goes, okay, they're ready for us. We're walking down the hall, we stop at the gym door. She goes, sorry, Val. And I looked at her like, what? And I open up, and the kids are yelling, we love you, Mrs. Thompson. And so the whole school's in there, all the staff and everybody, and they put me in a chair in front of a big screen TV. So I'm looking at this TV, a screen, and then our principal had gone around and had the kids write Mrs. Thompson is, and so they put in, you know, beautiful, loving, caring, compassionate, kind, and just, there's probably like 50 slides on there for kids. So Mrs. Thompson is just there bawling. Well, I saw my good friend Sue Lewis in the crowd, and I thought nothing of it, because that night she was going to come up and have supper with some of us. So, and Sue always comes and chit-chats with all the staff around school, so I thought nothing of her there. Well, then she comes up and starts talking, and she gives this big speech and everything. She goes, well, now we have a surprise. And my back is still facing the audience, so I can't see anything behind me. And I start turning my chair. It's kind of funny. She goes, oh, no, you can't see. And she turns my chair back around. Well, pretty soon somebody comes around me, and it's Lee Mills from New Scene 15, with the Crystal Apple Award. And out of, there were 600 applicants, Leah told me, and I was the top one.
Oh.
33 to 35 people that had written in on my behalf. And that was just, I just couldn't believe it. I was just in awe of that. So I was sitting there and just, you know, in tears and so happy. And she goes, we had another surprise for you. I think, okay. So in behind comes my mom, one of my sisters, my daughter, a little girl that she watches, and about five or six of my good friends came. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is pretty cool. So we keep talking. She goes, and I got one more. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can't take any more surprises like this. So in comes John Stofflett. And if you are an NBC 15 fan, John Stofflett was an anchor person for years, 40 years, I believe, 40, 41 at New Scene 15. And he had come in too, just for my special day. And so that just topped everything off. And years ago, when his mom was alive, Rita, we had sent her cards and made her different things and videos and audios that we had sent to her, because she was 100 and then 101, 102 for this lady that my children didn't know nothing about, and just to teach them about kindness and do things for people you don't know. So he said, by all means, he had to come to that party, and it was just amazing.
Wow. That's a tribute to you, of all the people he could come visit, came to see you.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. Well, a surprise, but ecstatic. The Crystal Apple is just gorgeous. The award is just beautiful.
So you already have that?
I have that. It's sitting on my desk, and it's heavy. It's a beautiful Crystal Apple. It has my name on it. Yeah. So it was an all-around, like, kind of a whirlwind day, because it's like the rest of the afternoon I had kids, but my para, awesome para, she took them for the rest of the day, because then they interview you there. They interview John Stofflett, Sue Lewis, and then they had me do a couple lessons teaching too. So it will be aired on May 8th at the 6 o'clock news on NBC 15. So it's kind of be neat to see how she puts all this together for that. So I was very happy.
You talk about a day of coordination, how somebody didn't spill the beans somewhere along the way, because you're a lot of people were involved in that.
A lot of people. I mean, I think the school knew that there was an assembly, but I don't think many of them knew it was a Crystal Apple. And then, of course, for my own personal family, my mother, hi, Mom, Louise Huffman, that I talked to every night, that she didn't spill the beans. And she goes, and everybody thought she would, but she didn't. And my own family and some of my close friends, yeah, it was hush hush all the way. So a total surprise.
Tell us what the Crystal Apple Award involves, or, you know, its description, or who it normally goes to, Val.
Well, they have where you can nominate teachers, mm-hmm, at Southern Wisconsin, of teachers that usually go above and beyond their duty, and then you can nominate them. And then people just send in nominations for that award. And then they have a big committee there at NBC 15 that they choose candidates from that.
Wow. And you're in, I know a lot have wanted over the years, you're in some pretty renowned company there.
I know. So. I always looked at that and saw, wow, that's pretty cool. I'd like to win that some year. And it's like, oh my gosh, I want it.
Gary, were you privy to any of the letters that were written on Val's behalf?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I nominated her as well. So Sue Lewis was kind of, and if you're not familiar with Sue Lewis, she's a retired educator from Waniwok, and she ended up marrying Larry from Ithaca. Mm-hmm. And they live up by Beaver Dam now. Is that right?
Yes.
Beaver Dam. And so she kind of spearheaded it, but, you know, it was kind of a Facebook type thing or whatever, but really, you know, 35 people jumped on board and extolled the great virtues of Val through the years. You know, and she's just a very engaging person. She's very inviting, not just to adults, but, you know, the students. And it's a generational thing too. There's so many students that, you know, are, or so many adults that are sending their kids now that, you know, they had Mrs. Thompson back in the day and they remember the values and the character lessons that they learned from her, such as being kind. So yeah, I actually got Lee Mills, sent an email, left her phone number. I called her. And then our elementary principal, Jason Meyer, was very instrumental in putting like the program together, and he kind of emceed it and then, passed it off to Sue. Sue did her speech, which, you know, I don't know, Val, I gave Jason the explicit instructions to make sure that Sue only talked for like 2 or 3 minutes. If you know Sue, if you know Sue Lewis, though, she has a lot to say, and it's all good and all positive. So I think she probably went on close to 10 minutes, and then, you know, that led into Lee and all those surprises. So it was very well done. Jason Meyer did a nice job emceeing. Sue did a great job of orchestrating everything. And obviously Lee Mills just does a great and wonderful job as well. But it was interesting kind of to go against what Val was saying earlier. Like, she was not aware, but as it progressed towards that day, it was amazing how many people actually knew, but didn't spill the beans to you. Yeah. So it was very good. And, I think the neat thing about it really was recognizing her legacy of being a 40-year teacher, but beyond that, you know, just what her legacy really is of warmth, engaging, quick with a smile. As she said, you know, engaging the community, getting people involved, being involved herself. It's just a wonderful tribute to 40 years in one district and teaching generations as well. And then, the actual program, you know, as she said, you know, we have a surprise for you. Oh, you're not done yet. We have a surprise for you. You're not done yet. We have a surprise for you. So a lot of emotions and everything, but, what a joyous occasion and wonderful emotions.
Right. Great for your district. I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Put the spotlight on there in a positive way.
Yes.
Somebody that stayed there. I mean, that's, you look at teachers today, a lot of them move around more than they used to.
Yeah, actually. And you're right. Like, especially in the last 10, 15 years, it's, you know, there's a little bit of free agency, I think, that you would say goes on there. And sometimes teachers are looking for greener pastures, is what they perceived as greener pastures. But, yeah, it's just a wonderful tribute, and it says a lot that Val was there for 40 years, and, you know, you're not quite done yet.
Not yet.
Next, tomorrow rolls the calendar to May, and that's kind of the home stretch.
Getting close.
Yeah.
I know that there were probably other opportunities for you. Why did you stay at Weston all those times?
Oh, I don't know. I think because I had some wonderful mentors, I mean, that I knew previous before I worked there, Margie Brown, who had passed, and Barb Borton. They were just wonderful friends, and I think when the opportunity came up to get that job, of course, everybody's looking for that job as soon as they get out of college, and Weston came up, and it was there close to home. We lived in Richland Center at the time, and then now we live in Lime Ridge, but I think that opportunity came up and got into Weston. I never had subbed there before, so that was just kind of putting my feet in the door, and once I got there, and of course, of that warm, receptive, you know, love that you get from staff, and especially those two that helped me so much along the way, and it just was a good fit, and I'm still there.
There was more competition for jobs then as well. Do you recall how many applied for the job?
I think there's like 7 or 8 when I was there that year. I remember walking in. I remember one girl said, "Oh, you're here too." And I said, "Yeah." And when we graduated together, and then I got the job, and she goes, "Oh, you got the job instead of me." I said, "Yes, I did." And I was just excited. So, yeah, I think, especially for my job now. So, if there's any listeners out there that are pre-K certified, they're still looking for my position to fill. I know they have an interview, I believe, next week, but it's a little harder to fill this position. So, you know, if you are interested, you can get a hold of Weston Schools.
Indeed. Gary Sifta said to be the man to talk to, right?
Yeah, and it definitely reflects the national narrative. It's, if you talk to principals, administrators around, they're going to tell you that jobs such as FIED, even, that, you know, the stereotype there is that you would have sometimes back in the 80s, early 90s, you'd have over 100 applicants. Now, you know, if you get 15 applicants, that's a pretty good pool. So definitely, as Val said, the four-year-old kindergarten position, we're still looking to fill that. And we will fill it, I'm sure, with a person in title, but Val will be irreplaceable.
Yeah, no doubt. Have they probably already come to you and say, "Val, what about... stay in another year."
yeah, I have some very lovely young teachers there. I swear they could all be my daughters, and I get that all the time. We had a meeting one time, and he had taught there like 50 years, and my good friend, Ashley Shaw, turns to me, she goes, "See, Val, you could go another 10 years. But now I have a beautiful granddaughter who was born in August, and I get to be grandma to her 2 days a week during the summer, and I've been visiting her now because she's still in the hospital, but that kind of gives a little more time so I can be a grandma time. But love the teaching time. I tell my kids when I'm gone, I said, "You know where I'm at?" "Oh, yeah, you're visiting baby Avery." And I say, "Yes." And I said, "But I still think about you." And you know, I look at the clock, and it's 10 o'clock. "What are you guys doing now? You're out for recess." So, yeah, so...
Yeah, you'll be very, very fortunate to be able to, you know, go out on your terms and
absolutely do what I want to do.
Grand baby time.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, I'm sure you will look at the clock at different times of the day thinking, okay, it's lunchtime or it's recess or whatever the
probably,
case.
Probably, yeah.
Nap time. What does it take to make a good pre-K teacher? Any ideas?
Well, you have to be flexible. Definitely flexible. You gotta love little kids. You know, they're sitting on your lap 1 minute. You know, they're stuck to you the next minute. You're giving them the Kleenex the next minute, and just be an energetic. You gotta be an energetic person. You know, you gotta be ready to go and stop and take care of their needs and teaching a lesson, and one will stop and go, "I like your toenails." You know, they come up with anything any time of the day, and you just got to be that flexible, caring, loving, huggable. And that's what I love to do. And so I just think my replacement needs to be like that. It's a warm, fuzzy person, because you're their moms. You know, you're their mom. You know, you love them just as much as your own kids, and they need you all the time. And you have to be there for them all the time.
I bet you could write a book on some of the clever things they've said over the years, couldn't you?
I'm sure I could. I probably should have. So young teachers, start writing this stuff down. Yeah, there's been some fun times and some fun things that they have said. Yes,
indeed. Gary, it's certainly bittersweet for you as a district.
It is,
isn't it?
And you know, the kind of little story here. So I taught at Weston from the fall of 94 to the spring of 99. That's where I started my career, and then to come back in 2019, and you know, Val is still there. And, you know, the first time she saw me, I think we were in the cafeteria, and, you know, it was just right away a big, big hug and warm embrace and, you know, welcome back type thing. So that's who Val is. She's very inviting, very warm, engaging, and definitely going to miss that. And she has, how many years have you run the Sunshine Committee?
Well, that was just probably 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. But with the community, I've been involved clear back when Just Say No was a big thing back there, and did a lot of the parent groups and the community outings and things that we have is just phenomenal at Weston, and I love to see that, to bring the community together to do different things. Like last night, we had a big roller skating party at the roller rink here, and it was a great turnout. And just to see those families coming together, being able to socialize, talking, it's awesome.
What did you say, the Sunshine Club?
Sunshine Committee.
What is that?
It's just when people have like babies and births, and once in a while throw treats out to them, and just a happy, you know, and I probably could be doing more, but I'm passing that on to a group for next year, but just to, you know, add a little positive sunshine to people's lives. Sometimes people just have a little surgery, a little pick me up, and a little card's just sent their way just to pick them up for the day.
What a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's who Val is.
Yep. We'll come back and talk more about all the good things at Weston Schools in a moment when our morning show continues. Our morning show continues here on WRCO. Gary Siftestad, administrator with Weston School District, is in with us today. And Val Thompson, longtime educator in the Weston District, joining us today as she gets ready for her last month of school. Well, hopefully the kiddos are behaving themselves right now, Val.
Oh, they are. Are they? I have a wonderful class.
I'm sure they are. So what are they doing about now this time? Oh,
they should be doing some reading a little bit, yeah. Okay. Learn about koalas today.
Koalas.
Oh, very nice. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. There are a lot of times when I have teachers on the program, I'd like to be a mouse in the corner sometime and just kind of see what's going on, you know?
Fun. Yeah, they are fun, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Gary, as you look at some of the things coming up, well, actually today, the 30th, is the last day for open enrollment, but you'd always encourage folks to look Weston's way, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, and interesting, tomorrow we have a group of 20 students going to Skokie, Illinois for the Holocaust Museum down there. So Mark Chambers is our social studies teacher in the high school, and he organized this trip to Skokie, Illinois. So we're taking three vans down there. Marcus McCauley will be driving one. Mark Chambers will be driving one. And then Ken Thede will be driving the third one. And so, Ken, if you're out there, good morning, and reminder to be at school early tomorrow to get the van and get the kids loaded and headed to Skokie, Illinois for the Holocaust Museum in Skokie, Illinois. So great, great trip for our students. And, you know, not only the museum piece, but just even a lot of our students sometimes don't see or don't get away from southwestern Wisconsin. So to be, you know, away and in a different state and, you know, a little more of a, quite a bit more of a population center.
Do they go through a history class?
Yeah. There's a Nazi Germany Holocaust, it's called. So yeah, they kind of, Mr. Chambers kind of goes through the buildup to the Holocaust and gets into, you know, obviously the rise of Hitler and the Nazi Party and everything, and then into the Holocaust. So,
yeah. What a wonderful opportunity for the students.
Yeah, great opportunity. I'm glad he's doing it. I actually, for a couple years now, was hoping that we could maybe get a group down there, and his class was very receptive. I think there's only two kids that aren't going from the class.
Wonderful. Your FFA continues to do well. And they, you know, we had them on earlier this year.
But yeah. And this is really a very busy time for them with the plant sale on Saturday, the FFA breakfast and plant sale this coming Saturday. So come join in the morning. But then also right now is milking time for the sheep. And so they're very busy with the milking and then processing that into soap and also gelato. And, you know, the gelato part is very high tech as far as, and a lot of, you know, restrictions and standards that they have to meet. you know, we have to have people that are milk hauler certified, and then the dairy processing plant, we have three students, Gabby Blinn, Brianna Clark, and Kayla Jensen that are all dairy processing certified. And so they go in and they do all the testing of the milk and then, you know, move forward with putting the gelato together. So it's a very busy time for the FFA right now.
What do they have to do to get certified for the to be that as far
there
as...
There is a test that they have to take. Okay. And they end up going down to Madison for that. And I'm not sure if that's through the UW or what. But, yeah, they have to definitely do some studying for that.
And then you sell it, right?
Yes. Gelato? Yep. The gelato. And we've been selling some even at the end of lunchtime. You know, there's strawberry, there's mint, maple nut, vanilla. And I did see, I don't know what the flavor is going to be, but they did say they're coming out with a new flavor soon. So, yeah, and that'll be for sale Friday night at the Fine Arts Night, but also then at the Pancake Breakfast, they'll be selling it as well.
And you have to have a milk hauler's license to basically transport the milk across the yard, right?
You're spot on. It seems kind of a little bit silly, but understandable based on, you know, a lot of the standards and just not... you know, wanting to cross-contaminate type things. So, yeah, basically you're hauling it from the barn into the school to the milk, the dairy processing plant.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But it surely gives the students a great, you know, into business, some insight into that and, you know, the work that goes on as far as agriculture and everything else.
Absolutely. And just like you said, that whole business model, but also, you know, I think a lot of them are learning what it means to be accountable as well. And then also the idea that a lot of them are having to figure out that they really have a lot more to balance in their daily schedule. You know, I got to be up there early to milk the sheep, but I also have school. You know, how am I going to get there, whether they have transportation themselves or their parents? So it's been very interesting to see some of the students, how they respond to that and how they really embrace it. And I think at the end of the day, as we all know, if you feel like you have some ownership in something that is valuable like that, it's just a very rewarding experience. And, you know, that's something I think that... in education, if we could, you know, pass that along even more, the idea that the value of hard work is a value of itself. Like, you don't have to be paid. You don't have to get some kind of reward. It's just the value and the reward is the hard work and seeing that the job gets done and that others, you know, benefit from it.
Yeah, well said. Camp Silver Eagle, do you still have that in the summertime?
Yes. So our summer school will crank up on June 10th, and it'll be Monday through Thursday in the morning. And then the neat thing is we have Monday through Wednesday is all at the school, and there's all kinds of enrichment-type events there, such as we've had archery in the past, but basketball, art, things like that. But then every Thursday, we have the kids load up on the buses and we take them to White Mound County Park. And we do all kinds of different, you know, things there, such as art, but also canoeing, kayaking. Just trying to think. I think they fish.
Oh,
yep.
Good.
So
maybe hike a little bit.
Yep. Hiking. It's a really neat experience for them. And it really makes the day go well, and of course they're getting in touch with nature and learning different things as they go along.
For what age group?
That's kindergarten, first grade, through all the way up through middle school.
Does the administrator go out and teach them how to fish?
I did go out one time last year, so yeah. Uh-huh. But Jason Meyer, our elementary principal, he does a great job of putting summer school together, and he was the one that kind of came up with the idea of, you know, let's get them out of the school one day during the summer and go to White Mound. And White Mound, we've looked at a few different places, but White Mound really works well because it's in our district, and the transportation, we didn't really want a place where they're spending a total of, you know, almost an hour and a half on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful place. We were there last
year
too.
Yeah,
they really
absolutely
made a lot of and nice improvements.
They definitely have made a lot of nice improvements. They put that nice building there. Yeah, they've done a nice job. I know on good information, Craig Meyer is the person that oversees White Mound. And I think today actually was the day they were supposed to be resurfacing the campground. So, yeah, so they're continually making improvements there. If you've never camped there, it's kind of a hidden gem. lot of people like to go there. It's a quiet place. There's lots of activities, and there's even horse trails. You can bring your horses there.
Most definitely. Recently, we had a couple of your students in, Logan Bingham and Vivian Makovic. Vivian Spencer. And they had some of their artwork at the Wyoming Valley Show this last Saturday. But yeah. I was very impressed by him.
Yeah. Yeah. Logan's a senior. He's a salutatorian for the class of 2024. So he'll be speaking at graduation. Graduation is Friday, May 24th at 7 p.m. in the high school, Weston High School gym. And Vivian is a junior, and she's at the top of her class, and they're both very talented. They're good students, and they both look for opportunities to, you know, enrich themselves, extend themselves. And Logan has really, over the last 3 years, just taken this pottery skill that he had and has just enhanced it and become a very, very good, I guess, at throwing pottery and creating pottery. So he does a great job. And Vivian is very talented musically. As I said, they're both very good academically, good students. But Vivian also has a wonderful skill with in the art class of drawing and murals and things like that. As Val had said earlier, she put together the big mural for our elementary Christmas program. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yep, and it was just so wonderfully done, and so you know, you could just see the talent in it and their creativity.
Did you have both of those students, Val, when they were younger?
I know I had Logan for sure. I can't remember if I had Vivian. See, I knew you'd question me on students.
I put you on the spot.
You did. I had Spencer family members, but Vivian, I'm sorry, I can't remember if I had you or not.
Did you have her parents?
No.
Okay.
Not quite.
Pretty close, though.
I'm sure you've got a few second generations.
Oh, I do, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes, I do.
So when you look back, what are some of the careers some of your students went on to have after you had them at Weston?
Well, it's probably not the one I grew up, because back then, I want to be a policeman, a farmer.
And right.
Gosh, I don't know. There's so many. I know there's, and I... You know, you're putting me on the spot again, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what some of them are out there doing now. I know a lot of them into the computer work, and some have moved, you know, out of state. Offhand, I can't even pinpoint what some of ours are doing.
How about, are there any Weston staff members that are former students?
Well, I do. I have some Weston staff members at Farmers. Say thank you, Mr. Simtis. Yeah, some of my former students are staff members at Weston. Which is kind of neat. Stephanie Vick is one, for sure. And who else do I have? I did not have Marcus McCauley, but he was in the other kindergarten class when I taught that.
So they can't blame you.
Can't blame me for Marcus. Sorry, Marcus. You're on your own.
Just kidding.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, he's good. I'm guessing, you know, you were picking a Mr. Thede, but you probably had Mr. Thede back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. His first year at Richland Center was my freshman year.
Yeah. Isn't that different when you become like a contemporary, you know?
Yep.
In your case, you can boss him around.
I don't think I could ever do that. 6'7", big, mean, and ugly, he used to say.
Well, we talked about Weston's graduation, Val, and you've got to get your speech written. Have you gotten that done yet?
I'm almost done with it. Yes, I'm going to be their speaker this year. I think it was February. I had three seniors walk in my room, and my kiddos were playing, and they said, Mrs. Thompson, can you do me a favor? And I always kind of, you know, hesitate when they say that word favor, like Gary did to come here today. I said, sure, I'll help you if you can. And they gave me the most beautiful card on it, and they all signed it, and they asked me if they'd be their commencement speaker today, or for graduation. So probably 90% got that ready for graduation day.
Wow. Well, can you let us in on some of the things that you're going to talk about? Maybe some of the themes or anything?
Well, I got to get a little Dr. Seuss in there, you know, a little of the things you can do, and just kind of like basically what I even teach my littles, like being kind, going out and follow your dreams. You're going to stumble, but get right back up and do it again. You're going to, you know, not sometimes follow the right path, and you're eventually going to find what you want and stick with it and don't give up. Keep on trying.
Yeah, when you were talking earlier, I thought of the Dr. Seuss book, "Oh, the Places You'll Go" or whatever. That one always kind of chokes me up a little bit. That book.
Yes. So. And then I have to get in everything you really needed to know you learned in kindergarten. There's a poem.
Yeah, that's the one I thought of. Robert Fulghum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the late '80s, early '90s, that was really popular.
So I'm going to end with that, I believe.
There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So share, take turns. Milk and cookies are best. Take naps. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, I brought ski and not milk. Because I would have been partaking in the
skiing cookies.
Yeah.
So looking ahead, lots of things going on. You mentioned the baseball team, Gary, and they're off to a good start.
Yeah, they're doing a nice job. They beat Kickapoo last night in 5 innings, so they've got 2 losses in the conference. DeSoto beat them in a tight 1-4-3, and then as we were talking about, Ithaca beat them 3-1. I think Ithaca scored all their runs in the bottom of the first.
They did, right out of the gate.
And then it was just kind of a tight game from there.
Yeah, good ball game. But I look at that group, and that's a fine example of a group that has stayed together where it's kind of, you know, positive peer pressure. Everybody is in it. They've been sticking together all through the years, and they're seeing results, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and like you said, sticking together, the older ones kind of pull the younger ones along, and let's do this. Let's get together. I mean, there's no doubt that baseball seems to be their wheelhouse and their favorite one to partake in.
Yep. So the next month plus of the season is here and now, too.
Yeah. And as, you know, serving as the athletic director at this time, it's like even yesterday I had reached out to Kent Peterson at Kickapoo, and it's like, here's my cell phone, Kent, unless in case we need to cancel. And he's like, well, let's just see. So I was glad that last night worked out, and we have a JV baseball game at Cashin tonight. But I'm a little worried about, like, Thursday. And then next week, I think our varsity plays Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, leading into a JV triangular at Weston on Saturday. So more of a little bit of a major league schedule there. And that's where you hope, like, okay, we're in close to mid-May. Hopefully the weather can, you know, spin positive for us, and we can get those all in.
We will hope so. How hard is it as an athletic director? Because a lot of times somebody will say, well, the game's canceled. Well, let's just play it tomorrow. But you just can't snap your fingers because you have to find officials, too.
Yeah, it's not easy. And then, actually, I reached out to Kent. So we had a game scheduled for today with Waniwok, and I talked to their AD, and I said, hey, I'm guessing you probably have a conference game on Monday. And he's like, yep. So we both agreed, let's just cancel our game so that we have Tuesday today as a cushion in case yesterday was canceled. Well, then I reached out to Ken Peterson at Kickapoo, their AD. And I said, hey, just so you know, we have Tuesday open in case Monday, you know, has to be postponed. And, of course, he said, but we don't. He said, we have a makeup game with Lafarge. So they're making up a game with Lafarge today. And that's kind of what happens. It just gets really crunched. Because we're going to be in May now, the one thing that we will look at is we will look at using Wednesdays. You know, a lot of the confirmation catechism classes are kind of ending. So it does free up the possibility of using Wednesday. And I know we have May 15th, we have a makeup game with Lafarge.
Okay. The odds are that the nicest day of the week is always Wednesday.
And, you know, baseball's definitely more of a challenge because it gets so crunched together, and then it really kind of boils down to, do you have enough arms, you know, enough pitchers to really get your team through? And so coaches really have to think about strategically how they're going to use their pitching staff and who's going to pitch and that kind of thing.
I'm sure you're looking ahead to next year, and the co-op's still in place with Waniwok for football then? And
Yes. Yep. And then wrestling and track and field with Ithaca.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's gone real well, too.
Yeah. And I think we're hoping that maybe there will be some expansion of that co-op with Ithaca in some areas. I know there's been some conversations, some dialogue about that, but I think, quite honestly, we probably have to get the coaches and the ADs together, kind of start there, and then go outward from there and get the community involved in some of those conversations. The kind of the thing that's developing, Phil, is that Weston youth softball and Ithaca youth softball are merging this summer. I think at the, I think it might be the fifth grade level. I think the baseball is starting, they're going to play together this summer. And then youth girls basketball is also merging. So I guess my point in saying that is, you know, Ithaca has decent numbers right now at the high school, but those people that have kids at the youth level, they see it coming as well, that the numbers are dwindling and that, you know, to have these teams to offer these programs, a lot of these small schools, such as down the southern part of the state, you got like Potosi, Cassville, Albany, Monticello, Peck, Argyle, you know, to keep these programs and these offerings going, you're going to have to look at co-ops. And, you know, we're not going to be the only ones doing that. It's going to start to happen more and more. And, you know, we know that Kickapoo and Lafarge, they co-op in a fair amount of stuff right now as well.
Yeah. Every community is proud, you know, and sometimes you got to swallow the pride a little bit and, you know. And,
absolutely.
And most of the time it works out pretty well, too.
Yeah. And, you know, you just have to be, you have to look at it as, do you want a program or not? Mm-hmm. And if you want a program, then it is probably going to mean down the line that the schools co-op in some of these. And if you don't have some of those programs, there will be parents that will take their child to look for where they can, whether that's Richland Center, River Valley, you know,
Reedsburg in your case, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So
I know that, and it's not an official co-op, but you do have some softball girls that are playing the JV level.
Yeah, so we have five or six girls that are down there playing, and Paula Boland, the Ithaca softball coach, has just been wonderful. I know when I got together with our softball coach, Mindy McGlynn, shortly before the season started, I think it was like 3 days before the season actually started, we had talked about, well, you know, would Ithaca take that on, and we were all kind of like, well, it's kind of last minute. You know, I don't know that we can expect them to jump on board with that. But Paula Boland has just been wonderful. Her and Mindy have worked well together, and Paula's just been very receptive to it. And my understanding is that the girls have, you know, worked well together, and that the Ithaca girls have been very welcoming to the five or six Weston girls that go down there.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Good to hear. Well, anything else that you'd like to add in conclusion here, Gary?
I don't think so. You know, we're in the home stretch, and yeah, this is kind of the sprint of the school year, I always call it. I can't say enough what a wonderful career Val has had, and what a wonderful influence and legacy she has on the community, on the students, and, you know, as those students become adults, they are very fond of their experience with Mrs. Thompson.
No doubt. Any thought of maybe doing some sub work someday, or is this going to be it?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
I think it'll be hard to come back. But
I bet it would.
But I want to shout out to my pre-K class. If you're listening, Mrs. Thompson will be back soon. I love you guys.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for your friendship over the years. And I know we've talked a lot with birthdays over the years.
Yes, we have. You've
sent those in and things like that. So thanks for all you've done for these years. And good luck in retirement, too.
Thank you.
You bet. Val Thompson joining us. Gary Siftestad from Weston Schools on today's morning show.